The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, Whisperin951.com, and WJJC.net. And on those last two internet platforms, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, and there you will find our archives. There are several of the more recent programs there for you to listen to at your leisure. And they're free of charge, of course. And there's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose. Remembering, of course, that 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Wherever you are, whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We're so pleased to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, events are both converging and accelerating. The hourglass is about to run out. I beg you this very night to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart so that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely right, John. And we say this every week, and I think it bears repeating every week. We're here to warn the people. We're the watchman on the wall. We're here to blow the horn, warn the people, let you know what's coming down the pike, and also let you know that there's a way that you can avoid all of this horribleness that John and I talk about every week. You don't have to be here for it, but Amen. We're just trying to prepare you for it if you happen to be here so that you will not be surprised. And once we've blown the horn and warned you, then that decision falls to you. And believe me, there will be a decision made, whether you think so or not. But there's only one decision to make. I mean, there's one choice. It's either you're for Jesus Christ or you are against Jesus Christ, and that's it. There are no 15 other routes around it. There's only the one route, and you have to choose it or not choose it, and choose life or choose death.
Well, what is interesting, Rob, is that particularly in the context within the context of today's world, which is upside down, but nevertheless, we hear a mantra of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
Now, the equity they're not talking about is not equal opportunity. It's equal outcome based in Marxist socialist ideology. But I digress. The point here is that salvation is inclusive in that it is free and available to every living person. It is exclusive within the sense that there is only one way to it, and that is through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely right. And that's the thing about it, that you mentioned the inclusive mantra that you hear in the secular world today, but they don't want to include Christians.
No.
Christians are part of the excluded class, if you will.
Precisely correct.
And it's going to get even worse as time goes on.
It will get so bad that they will cut your head off because of it.
Before we get too deep, John, let's do the quote of the day. It's always a very important part and very well-received part of every program.
It seems to be. And tonight, the quote comes from Hannah Arendt, who was a German-American political philosopher of the last century. She had a great deal of influence within the world of political thought. And I'm quoting, "Never has our future been more unpredictable. Never have we depended so much on political forces that cannot be trusted to follow the rules of common sense and self-interest, forces that look like sheer insanity if judged by the standards of the centuries. It is as though mankind had divided itself between those who believe in human omnipotence, those who think that everything is possible if one knows how to organize the masses, and those for whom powerlessness has become the major experience of their lives." Let me frame it within a spiritual context. God is separating the sheep and the goats. There are those, indeed, such as the World Economic Forum with Schwab and that godless bunch, who in fact fancy themselves to be gods, yes, or they're going to become gods. And we've discussed this any number of times within the last 4 to 6 weeks, Rob.
Absolutely right. And it is funny how you get these quotes of the day that come from, a lot of times come from secular sources, and but they have such great spiritual meaning.
And this in the last century.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not last year or from Tucker Carlson or something.
Yeah, it's prophetic.
Now, we had some questions or something.
We did have a very interesting question. It was actually a series of questions and statements that I kind of molded into a question I think will satisfy everybody that was involved. The question was, or the statement was, you know, things are not going well on the world stage for the United States. You got the rise of China in the East. Looks like China and Russia may have some type of a coalition going on here in the next little while. China's setting himself as a quote-unquote peace broker in Ukraine, which has always been the place that the United States has had. And the question or the statements were regarding the power of the United States. And in the past, you've said that you felt like the United States would be the military support of the Western alliance.
Underpinning,
yes. But if that is true, how can you balance that with the fact that the United States is being not somewhat, but tremendously diminished on the world stage as we sit today?
Well, the question is very astute, and let me applaud our audience. I am always amazed at just how closely you pay attention. You obviously read the scriptures, and the questions are welcomed. I appreciate the opportunity to address these sorts of things because it can be confusing. Let me begin by setting the context this way. Antichrist arises in the West, not the East. Number two, that's point one. Number two, China and Russia are not involved at the beginning except within the context of the Russian Pan-Arab Alliance. There are essentially three major geopolitical spheres of influence and power on the end-time world stage. As I discussed a week or so ago, there's the West under Antichrist, more closely defined by NATO, and the United States is predominantly NATO, or the dominant power within it. Number two is a Russian Pan-Arab alliance, and three, what John describes in the Revelation as the kings, plural, of the East. That would be China and those over which it has hegemony, such as Southeast Asia, North Korea, and so forth. We had a question which I addressed. How is it that everyone's going to worship the beast, but then China's going to attack at Armageddon? Well, that answer is found in Revelation 16, because Revelation 13 describes that Antichrist will be given authority over every nation and tribe and people and tongue, and all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast whose names have not been written from the book in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. He has an ear, let him hear. Now, as you progress at the end of the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's the time of the Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. Church is gone. What we find is John describes that there are three unclean spirits like frogs, demons, which proceed out of the mouth of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, and they go out to deceive the kings of the earth, to gather them together to that battle of the great day of God Almighty, to a place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. So it is demonic forces that draw them out into the Valley of Decision, as described in Joel 3, which is the Jezreel Valley. Napoleon once stood on the Mount of Megiddo and observed that all the armies of the world could maneuver here, and so they will. 200 million from the East. Now, the United States, in some sense, because of the impotent political leadership we currently have, is probably diminished in respect as it relates to world powers. However, that is a dangerous proposition. While we probably do not have the same edge in conventional forces, I can tell you the nuclear the strategic forces have not diminished. In fact, they were modernized over about the last 5 years.
Right.
So we have an overkill factor of about five or six times, which means we could extinguish the population of Earth five or six times, you see. And so added to that will be the ability for global intelligence such as the world has never seen, that vis-a-vis Central Intelligence and the NSA, particularly the NSA. They are capturing, with the new center in Utah and its supercomputers, they are capturing every communication on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. And they can triage these communications and boil them down. They can, the computers will compare. They have lexicons. They're looking for words or phrases or words and phrases which might be of significance. You don't want to use the word president and bomb and stuff like that in the same sentence.
Right.
For example, you might get a knock on the door. My point is this. There is nothing like it. The Russian Pan-Arab Alliance, first of all, turn off your idiot box and open the Bible. The Russian bear is going to get drawn south. Now, I'm getting tired of repeating this, but we have a lot of new listeners and so forth.
Every week.
So it bears repeating. The destiny of Russia is not war with NATO or the United States. It's war with God on the mountains of Israel. For further reference, see Ezekiel 38, and you might want to review its companion scripture in Psalm 83, because 83 defines the inner circle of enemies, Ezekiel 38, the outer circle. But when one attacks, which is Russia and Persia, that is ancient Persia is modern Iran, when that war occurs, the Russian bear is coming south. In fact, I just read two or three days ago that Syria has asked for more Russian troops.
Oh.
That is no surprise to me. They turned up in Syria in force virtually overnight, and my sources tell me Langley got caught flat-footed when that happened about 5 years ago. And so the Russian bear, when Israel will and almost assuredly move to neutralize the Iranian reactor facilities, they're going to kill a bunch of Russians in the process. Make no mistake. There are technicians, advisors, scientists, military, all kinds of folks over there which are Russian. And they are right next door to Israel in Syria. They kill a bunch of Russians, you can just predict the result. So there will be this Russian pan-Arab assault in the last days of the world against the people who have been gathered out of many nations to the mountains of Israel and who dwell securely. Doesn't mean in peace, means securely. And so they have the IDF, the Israeli Air Force, and so forth. And this is open source information, they have pilots training in Nevada today for long-range missions and refueling. Now, what do you think that could be about? They are not going to allow, and they have publicly stated, they're not going to allow Iran to get a deliverable nuclear device. So you can forget the Russians and any kind of world, any fool that is telling you we're going to war with Russia and China is simply wrong. That's not what the Bible describes. There is no global conflagration described between now and Armageddon, because the prophetic events are occurring before your eyes right now, and they have accelerated in their fulfillment since 14 May of 1948, when Israel was reestablished as a nation. The China card is not played to the very end. And so with the Russians and Arabs largely neutralized, that will likely lead or be a catalyst for the false peace of Antichrist. Only 16% of that invading force survives, Ezekiel 39:1.
I have a quick question that just popped in my head.
Sure.
The Gog and Magog war on the mountains of Israel, any ideas or are there any scriptures that kind of delineate how long that conflict lasts?
Interesting you should ask. The ancient rabbinic scholars believe that war would only last a week. In other words, and if you read the language of Ezekiel 38, it says you come like a storm, like a cloud to cover the land. What is within the context of the scripture, it seems to be describing what was called in World War II Blitzkrieg, lightning, like the German lightning
right.
war. The Wehrmacht rolled through the Netherlands and that bunch in about 48 hours or something. I mean, it was like goo through a goose.
Yeah.
And so this war will be the same. Now, there's going to be a crisis in the not too distant future, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not going to be world war. It's going to be the rapture of the church, you see. And then Antichrist emerges. Now, let me make one more observation here with the United States. Because we have withdrawn from Central, largely withdrawn from Central Theater, we're not going to be able to react fast enough to that invasion. The West sits on, in fact, the Bible describes how the West sits on the sideline and poses a rhetorical question. Have you come to see, spoil, and take plunder? Why, yes. Yes, we have. There's just one problem, God. And it takes them 7 months to bury the dead. 7 years they are burning weapons for fuel. That is no coincidence. That just happens to be the time of the tribulation. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. This war likely will occur right at just before or just after the rapture. My exegesis is likely just after the rapture, because that is the catalyst that sets all these dominoes in motion. So you would have the church removed, the war of Gog and Magog, the wounding of Antichrist. He miraculously recovers and steps forward with his false peace plan. So, to the specifically to the listener, what you want to watch for. And by the way, Europe, you think the United States is diminished, ladies and gentlemen? Better check out Europe. Year before last, they hosted a joint European Union.
Yeah.
It was some notion that they were going to have this reaction, a European Union army.
Yeah.
They had to send people to duty post in their private vehicles because their armored personnel carriers and so forth were deadlined. Europe couldn't fight its way out of a wet sack. That's what you have over there. So, as Daniel described when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's vision, these 10 kingdoms, these are basically economic zones of influence. There are 10 of them extant in the world today, governed over by 10 kings, but they give their authority to Antichrist in 60 minutes. And so what you have at the end of the day is an economic system of control, and there is no conflagration worldwide until Armageddon. However, there will be the war of Gog and Magog, which may lead some people to conclude it's almost a false type of Armageddon.
Gotcha.
The United States can put two brigades of infantry anywhere on the face of this earth in 24 hours. But that is light infantry, unsupported, it can't hold.
They are not
going to go to Israel's aid. It is God who marches forth. And if you read Ezekiel 39, he says, when I bring Gog into the land of Israel, my fury will mount up in my anger. Now, I don't know what that means, and I don't want to find out. You do not want to be on the other side of that fence.
No,
and,
absolutely not.
I hope I answered your question.
I'm sure that you did, and we were going to take our first break. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, Whispering951.com, and WJJC.net. And you listen to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on the internet platforms there. When you are on the internet platforms, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis and our archives, where there are several of the more recent programs there for you to listen to at your leisure at no cost. Also, there's a place to donate to the ministry if you so choose, remembering that 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. I know those platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly have tried to keep a focus on spiritual deception, and particularly in the last few years, because as Jesus described on Olivet to the disciples, when they asked him what would be the sign singular of his coming in the end of the age, his immediate response was, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Spiritual deception is the calling card at the end of the age. And we can conclude from Revelation 17, and I've never seen a conservative scholar hold otherwise, the false religious system will center in Rome, because the harlot sits on seven mountains, only one city on earth known as City of the Seven Hills. So, to the point, Pope Francis names a pro-LGBTQ Jesuit to his C9 Council of Cardinals as he seeks to reboot the Catholic position on homosexuality. Francis named Luxembourg Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich to his inner cabinet advisors despite the Cardinal's rejection of key elements of Catholic moral teaching. If you don't know anything at all about the one world religion that will be in operation during the reign of Antichrist, you know that it has to include Muslims and has to include the LGBTQ community as well. Pope Francis basically sealed the deal with Muslims in 2019, and he may have just added the man who will bring the LGBT community into the fold. We'll be hearing a lot more about this in coming months. But as Daniel 7:25 declares, "And he shall speak monstrous words against the Most High, and shall wear down the saints of the Highest One, and think to he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a half time, which is 3.5 years. Francis is looking to reboot the universal Roman church to get it in line with the one world religion of Christendom. We have talked about that in the past, somehow trying to harmonize Christianity with Islam, which is an impossibility. As I was discussing with someone.
Oil and water.
Right. Well, Allah is not another name for God. It's the name of another God. And if you want a smoking gun on this, the Quran explicitly states that Allah has no son. That is in itself a refutation that it is one and the same as Yahweh. It is not. Hollerich is not just sympathetic to the gay crowd. He is fervently passionate about them. Powerful voice for change in the Roman Church. That's exactly why the Pope just made him a part of his inner circle. And, of course, they just opened and applauded the Abrahamic Family House, which I believe just opened in Dubai. We know from history, it's interesting, these Jesuits being appointed. And Francis is Jesuit. It was the Jesuits. They are the defenders of the faith. They're the ones that conducted the Inquisition.
Yes. In Spain. Look it up if you don't know anything about it. That was an interesting time.
Indeed it was. This council that he has retained four of its members and added five. It's an additional five. And, of course, we can look for some interesting developments as this goes forward. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, that's one of the sticklers for me anyway, in a world religion that's going to include all these disparate, different ways to look at things as somehow molding into one. Boy, that's going to take something.
Well, it will, but remember, the rapture of the church will, if you think people were terrified during the Wuhan, you hadn't seen anything yet. What happens when hundreds of millions of people vanish into thin air across the world, including the children, and certainly those under the age of accountability, Unsaved mothers will have babies taken out of the womb if they're pregnant, those sorts of things. Artificial pieces within your body are not going. Artificial knees, false teeth, all that kind of stuff will hit the deck. And so you can just expect terror in the world. People will be scared, doo-doo lists.
And looking for anything to give them some type of order.
Well, they'll believe anyone that can give them some kind of explanation, and Antichrist will do just that.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that Sturmbannführer, Schwab, he's Nazi as far as I'm concerned, Daddy was, I doubt the apple fell far from the tree, head of the World Economic Forum, says that the United States must implement a one-child policy for white families.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, in other words, these people, this is like Pharaoh. So let it be written, so let it be done.
Right.
This clown fancies himself, by the way, to be divine, some sort of God. And some of those other elites do as well.
Absolutely. They know what's better for you. They know much better what's better for you than you do.
Absolutely. And events and trends of global significance, and certainly we have seen an acceleration in the fulfillment of prophetic events, but we've also seen a convergence.
Yeah.
So the events are both converging and accelerating at the same time. As I have mentioned, I think, several weeks ago, and hadn't had time to take it up in real detail, but about 700 years before Christ, Hezekiah built a 2,000-foot-long tunnel through solid rock to carry water from the Gihon Spring in Jerusalem to the Pool of Siloam. Now, the Pool of Siloam was important. They used water from it in ritual purification of Levitical priests and so forth, the Kohanim. In any event, Po was located on a stone path called the Pilgrimage Road that led to the southern gate of the temple. Well, according to Josephus, about 1 million Jews would visit Jerusalem three times a year to celebrate the Jewish feast and so forth. And this, the Pool of Siloam was required so that you took a ritual bath before they went to the temple. Of course, this is where Jesus healed the blind man and so forth and declared that he was the light of the world, which he is. So they are refurbishing the Pool of Siloam, which would indicate that with the restoration of the Pool of Siloam, we could expect that a rebuilt Jewish temple would not be too far behind. There is a strong messianic fervor in Israel today, and paired with a desire to rebuild the temple. We know the Temple Institute has been operational since the 80s, training priests, crafting implements for temple worship. The cornerstone has been cut and consecrated. My understanding is that the temple, which is only the Holy of Holies and inner court, Revelation 11 describes leaving out the outer court. So we're not talking about a large edifice. It would go from the goal line on a football field, from the goal line to the 20-yard line of the opposing team, and just slightly wider than the football field. We're not talking about a huge structure here. And from what I understand, it probably put up in something like 45 days. Interestingly, implements, everything is essentially in place with the exception of the Ark of the Covenant. And my sources tell me they know exactly where that is too, under Temple Mount. So, concerning the division of Israel, we have talked about Joel 3 and how the dividing of God's covenant land will trigger the judgment of God. That after the restoration of Judah and Jerusalem, which occurred in June 1967, pursuant to the Six Days War. On 4 January 2023, it was reported that the Jewish Sanhedrin warned the EU, the Economic Union, or European Union, that their actions are in opposition to scriptures. Now, interestingly, the Sanhedrin didn't exist for almost 2,000 years.
Right.
They were reconsecrated in Tiberius Israel in October of 2010. And so these
and
were
the Sanhedrin court was for
70 elders.
You may have, in the back of your mind, I've heard of that. Well, that's Jesus appeared before the Sanhedrin.
Well, and these were the 70 elders of Israel. And they, as I said, they were reconsecrated in October of 2010. Again, this is no coincidence, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, it's coincidence.
Let's see. The Sanhedrin war in the EU, scriptures say God gave the land of Israel to the Jews. He did. And he will punish the countries in the Valley of Judgment, that is Jehoshaphat, at Armageddon for dividing the land. And he will. As a matter of fact, judgment will come upon the whole world because it's dividing. And according to the prophet Zechariah, the entire world will go to battle. God says, I'll bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. And they will. He will. I just discussed a little bit of that in the last segment. So, on 4 January of 23, apparently Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who's a member of the Knesset, said we should condemn violence on Temple Mount and not condemn people visiting. Because if you remember, the defense minister, Ben Gavur, spent 15 minutes on January 3 on Temple Mount, and the United Nations had to meet to condemn it, Rob.
Oh, my Lord.
As if they didn't have enough problems to address with the Security Council, like the Ukraine and so forth, they chose to condemn Israel, and apparently the U.S. voted with them.
I'm sure they did.
Well,
they did.
And you think the economy is bad now, folks? Stand by. Genesis 12:3 has never changed in 4,000 years. God promised Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. Now, all you have to do is look at the difference in the last administration and this one. Are you better off today?
Yeah, are you better off today?
Oh, you can't make this stuff up. And people are too stupid to understand the difference. It's common knowledge that some scholars believe Temple can be rebuilt next to the Dome of the Rock and a wall of partition and erected between the two. Now, a lot of this research was done by Dr. Asher Kaufman, professor of physics at Hebrew University. His work was published in Biblical Archaeological Review in 1983-84. And so he holds this position identifying markers. Now, we know the Eastern Gate is where it's identified today in Israel. The way they know is that during the bombing of the Six-Day War, it collapsed the underneath. So they know it precisely.
They found it.
That is the Eastern Gate. That's correct. Now, it was at the end of that war that the restoration of Judah and Jerusalem occurred. The Jews regained sovereignty over the so-called West Bank, ancient Judea and Samaria, as well as Jerusalem, fulfilling Joel 3, first verse. Now, the part two of that is they will divide the land because God says that he would bring all the nations, not some, all the nations, into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, essentially Armageddon, and enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my inheritance and my people Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They did, A.D. 70.
Right.
And they have divided up my land. The land has never been divided, not by the Assyrians, not by the Babylonians, not by the Romans. They all occupied the land. None divided the land. The Jews were out of it for almost two millennia, miraculously restored on 14 May 1948. And so there is an article. I'm going to try to go back and find it. I know I have it archived by an old rabbi. This was about, 8, 9 years ago. And he wrote about that it was important for the temple to be reconstructed for the peace of all nations. And he described this very thing, basically anchoring his scriptural reference to Ezekiel 44, that the temple would be rebuilt right next to what is today the Dome of the Rock. And there would be about 10 feet at the closest point of approach. And I think this research by Kaufman and by the old rabbi is absolutely cogent.
Yeah,
and likely
it sounds like it's right on point.
I think so. Now, concerning the rise of Antichrist and the one world religion, on 6 January this year, there was an incredible article by William Koenig. He was a White House correspondent, author, and so forth. The two important points from his piece. If the globalists have their way, God will be removed entirely from everyday life. The people of the planet will live under forced control by elite humans who think they are God, or gods, little g. Our great nation will be usurped by a global tyrannical power. Political freedom will be obsolete, and Americans will no longer enjoy religious freedom under the God of the Bible, who allows all people to have free will and worship him only if they so choose. Point two, it is the globalists who seek to conquer humankind and are themselves enemies of the United States and freedom. It is they who seek to destroy. They think they are exclusionary, and of course they are fascist, sexist, and they are the ones who are committed entirely to anything and everything that makes a mockery of God and the world he has created, as described in the Bible. Yay, they fancy themselves as God.
Absolutely, they think they're gods.
So, we are looking at the foundations for the emergence of a world government. In an article in the Exposé, I guess this was January of this year, the International Health Regulations Review Committee of the WHO, World Health Organization, is planning to seize control worldwide of all health regulations so that they can impose on every country, should the nations meeting in May affirm this. It would make the WHO recommendations legally binding. It would let the WHO regulate things that endanger public health, empower them to regulate things that could potentially endanger public health.
That potential, that's a big old word there now.
That's right. They could require medical exams, treatments, quarantines, passports, and more. Create a global system to track you, to identify you, to require vaccinations, to prohibit travel, to allow the WHO to release citizens' personal data, empower the censorship of information and disinformation, I should say. They're going to vote on this thing in May. Now, there are some who say all this takes is a simple majority vote and it's binding. I beg to differ because the Constitution requires treaties to be affirmed by the Senate.
The Senate, yes.
And I don't think they can sidestep that. If they try, I think it would be struck down constitutionally by the Supreme Court.
Well, it should be. Now, whether it will be or not.
Well, depends on what time it is. Depends on whether, I would say in today's world, the Constitution would prevail when the trumpet blows and the church is removed, all bets are off. I want to get, and I guess I'll pick this up. We're up against a hard break, and I want to share some comments made by Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, a man that I have called, I think, a modern-day Luther.
All right, we'll take a break. You're listening to World in Crisis with John and Gassert. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program different times of the day, different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. Now, before we took our last break there, John was giving us some very, very interesting information about things that are going on in and around Israel.
Absolutely. And I wanted to continue with this discussion about events of global significance. Archbishop Vigano made some remarks in January that I think are informative. And I'm quoting, "Today we see the simple and the leaders of distant nations recognizing the Savior and conforming their private and public lives to him, while the world leaders prefer to gather in Davos for their globalist agenda, and the prelates of the Bergoglian Pope Francis, whose real name is Jorge Bergoglio, of that sect think only of hiding their scandals, propagating synodality, that is partnerships and agreements, and encouraging the most unmentionable vices. Both support each other and recognize each other's legitimacy. Both see Jesus Christ as the unfathomable obstacle to the pursuit of their plans for power and to domination, and that is read world domination. For among my people there are wicked people who spy like lurking hunters. They set traps for men like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they become great and rich. They are fat and wicked. They go beyond the limits of evil. They do not defend justice. They do not care for the cause of the orphan, and they do not justice to the poor. Should I not punish these sins? Oracle of the Lord, should I not take revenge on a people like this? Terrifying and horrible things take place in the land. The prophets foretell in the name of lies, and the priests rule at their behest. Yet my people are pleased with this. What will you do when the end comes? And, of course, you're hearkening back to Jeremiah and so forth.
Right.
What will you do when the end comes? The Lord asked. Will you create new emergencies, like new crises, new pandemics, new wars with which to keep the people subjugated? Will you continue to exterminate innocent children, to render fathers and mothers sterile, to defraud the worker of his reward, to corrupt the young, to kill the sick and the elderly because they are considered useless for your own vile interest? Will you barricade yourselves in your fortresses, hoping to escape God's wrath and your just chastisement? What will you do, servants of the Great Reset, when your masters have to flee into their lairs and hide in the bowels of the earth? Do you think you can sell yourself to a new owner, as you have done so far? Poor, miserable, deluded ones, the terrible day of the Lord will come for everyone, and also for you. First with the particular judgment, and then with the universal judgment. Vigano is warning that a godless world government, godless world religion, and the tribulation period are on the horizon, and that apart from Jesus Christ, everyone on earth, great and small, will face the judgment of God. And to that I say, amen. This man is incredibly insightful, and I suspect his life is likely in danger. You need to pray for him. Concerning the normalization agreement between Saudi and Israel, that has essentially been delayed, interestingly, because of the Biden administration. They see him as unreliable. They're not sure he is a honest partner in this process. The only thing stopping it, apparently, is the White House, not Israel or Gaza. Concerning deceit, corruption, and possible treason by the deep, I would say treason, by the deep state in their quest to weaken American surrender U.S. sovereignty to a world government. And that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. When the rapture occurs, the United States will fold into the beast kingdom smartly, just like all the rest will. And they will worship him, just like everyone else will worship him. If at least some deep state members are not immediately held accountable for what they're doing, they will not cease to control elections, weaken America, and could submit the United States to a world government by 2030 or sooner. We are in a very suspicious period of time, and I have talked about this any number of times in the last 6 or 8 months. This period of time between now and 25. Is a very suspicious time to me. We discussed the timeline vectors, which establish some discernible and defined markers in the Bible, things which have already come to pass, and put you in kind of a dead reckoning navigation window, and that window is closing. Do you see that any differently, Rob?
I would not.
Neither do I. Concerning corruption, I found it interesting that FBI Director Christopher Wray was invited to speak at Davos at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, that's a little bit dicey to me.
Well, and why
yeah,
him?
There's no rhyme or reason.
Well, what it says is he's one of them.
Oh, well, yeah.
And if you look at the what I would say is apparent corruption within some of these federal agencies back to the last election and afterward, that would make perfect sense.
Yes, it would.
So, folks, it's going to get worse. The question is, are you rapture ready?
Are you ready for what's coming? And you don't have to be here. We've said it 100,000 times, and we'll say it 100,000 more if we give them the opportunity. You do not have to be here when all of this stuff starts to happen. Well, let me rephrase that. When all this comes to fruition, because it's already starting to happen. The rumblings are there.
Absolutely. I want to bait our audience a little bit for next week. One of the issues I'm going to continue to focus on is this the great acceleration and what it means for Jesus' return. And I should say the great convergence and acceleration, because the events are both converging and accelerating right before your eyes. These are not things which are going to happen. They're happening right now.
Absolutely, they're happening. And they're happening so fast, and there's so many of the different things that are converging, it makes it impossible. And I'll say almost impossible. It is impossible for us to, or for John, to give you the information that you need on a weekly basis. It's not possible.
Well, I was noticing when I was doing some of the show preparation, I've got stacks and stacks of material. I've got stacks of material I can't even touch.
Yeah.
And that really, in the last 24 months or so, I have noticed a discernible increase in the information I need to share but don't have time to share.
Correct.
It is simply incredible. I'm going to pivot here and do a little bit, because we have a number in our audience, and I've been contacted directly about some of this. They are interested in the UFO deception.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, my exegesis, particularly of Paul's letter to Thessalonica and his second letter, when he describes how the coming of the lawless one, that would be Antichrist, will be with the activity of Satan and accompanied by all power and false signs and lying wonders, which begs the question, what, pray tell, might be a lying wonder? And, of course, false signs. Now, we know the Gospel of Luke declares in the 21st chapter that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars.
Right.
The powers of heaven will be shaken. That men's hearts will be failing them for fear at the expectation of those things which are coming upon the world. You have to consider that lying wonders, this would have to be something astonishing. Something
yes.
that would...
something that grips the world.
Precisely correct. And perhaps something that would be leveraged to try to explain away the disappearance of those millions, hundreds of millions of people. Interestingly, Dr. Spiros Zohides is one of the foremost experts in ancient Greek, and he commented on this passage that I just quoted from 2 Thessalonians 2:9. He writes in his Hebrew Greek key study Bible of the King James Version, and I'm quoting, "These two words do not refer to different classes of miracles, but to different qualities of the same miracle. Teras, T-E-R-A-S, wonders, is a miracle regarded as a startling, imposing, frequently used elsewhere for strange appearances in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Simeonian signs is a miracle with an ethical end and purpose. They are valuable not so much for what they are as what they indicate. These two are linked together, ladies and gentlemen, and they will be tied into the deception. Remember, Paul goes on to explain to the Thessalonican church that when this occurs, that God will send strong delusion that they might believe a lie. After the rapture of the church, when the church is removed, the restraint of the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way at the same time. And so Evil is then unrestrained, and to make things worse, God will send strong delusion that they might believe a lie, and they will.
And once you believe that lie, you've all but sealed your fate.
Precisely correct. Now, I found it interesting that, you know, and I think we quoted in last week's episode from G.H. Pember, Earth's Earliest Ages, that the occultist is brought into intelligent communication with the spirits of the air. He can receive any knowledge which they possess or any false impression they choose to impart. The demons seem permitted to do various wonders at their request. And so we are seeing these lying wonders, if you will, and abductees are being given messages from the entities they encounter. And so as we go into next week's program, I'm going to try to split this up so that I can begin to discuss what kind of lies are being communicated. But I can tell you this, one of the central components to the messages being given to abductees by UFOs and so-called, well, they are alien by definition. They're right. Not of this world. They're interdimensional beings, and they are demonic in nature. But what they do is to always refute the deity of Jesus Christ. I find that compelling evidence. And so whether it's beam me up, Scotty, somebody has got to explain the rapture, but I think within the context of today's world and the scripture that the UFO, unidentified aerial phenomena, which is now exploding in the mainstream media.
It used to be only the fringe, you know, tinfoil hat people, but not so much anymore.
Not today. And that it will play a central role in the strong delusion at the end of time that they might believe a lie.
Well, John, I hate to do it, but it's time.
Yeah, he's wiggling and about to start flailing on the other side. My final thoughts this evening come from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 8 and verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As Paul affirms in Romans 3, that by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. He wrote that we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It's by faith and faith alone, ladies and gentlemen, sola fide, sola scriptura, by faith alone, based on God's word alone. I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you might receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and that you would confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Choose life, not death. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassert, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.